being here. Thank you for coming tonight and supporting this wonderful event. And I have a microphone! Let there be lights! I forgot what I said, fuck it. I do drink whiskey, y'all, just let you know. First things first, I would like to present a very important person to you this evening. This is a lady that is in charge of doing a lot of this stuff. She is the one that's going to be collecting your money, is helping get this thing going. And her name is Nisha Randall. Please give a round of applause for the lady that's coming up here, part of this wonderful event.
Okay, I'm sorry, because the lights are blinding me. First, I want to give another round of applause to Slim for doing this for us. I'm so, so excited. I really, really, really appreciate this. Not just for, you know, donating the funds to us, but getting the word out about the march. Like she said, my name is Nisha Randall. I'm coordinating the march on Washington for Houston and our sister march in Austin. So that means if you have any information, you need any information about going to Austin or Washington, D.C. on January 21st, I'm the person in Houston you get in touch with. In D.C., we expect more than 200,000, almost 400,000 people, women, people, to protest. Well, not necessarily to protest, but to let the new administration know that our voices are here, we are watching everything you do, and we will hold you accountable. We are having sister marches in Austin and just about every major city in the United States and around the world. So we're marching in Paris, we're marching in Sydney, we're marching in London. So this thing has spread like wildfire. I'm so proud and honored to be doing this. About it. We've got a great group of women from Houston going to the march. We've got a bus that's got about 50 people going to the march. We've got a film crew and a reporter following us to document this journey. So that's going to be super, super exciting. We also need assistance for some of the people that are riding the bus with us. So if anybody wants any information on how you can donate to our cause, I'm sitting back here.
Bill down there, man. I've got a powdered cookie. But we live here in Houston, so, you know, we go to the grocery store, and, you know, we've been together so long, and we don't have children, so we still like each other. You know what I mean? There's only one. And we'll be walking through the grocery store and stuff like that, and we'll grab hands, and we're still snuggling, kissing, and the whole nine yards. And so I used to take her on tour with me, and sometimes I'd forget where we are, because it's a little backwood, podunk, poopadook town somewhere in bumfuck Alabama, right? And we'd be walking down the sidewalk, and I would forget where we are, and I'd reach out and grab her hand. Oh, the looks on some of these people's faces. Oh my God, what's that old white guy doing with that little black boy? And I don't know what bothers me more, that look or the fact that nobody intervenes to save this poor little black child from this old white pedophile. I love you, baby. We've given together so long that all of our siblings are having kids right now. I mean, we've got five nephews and three nieces. Woo! It's awesome. And the nieces, the oldest one is six, and she's going through her princess phase. Isn't that precious? I have not a clue what to do with that. I had a He-Man phase. I had a Transformer phase. Princess, please, please. I was dressing up like fucking Spider-Man. I was pro wrestler when I was nine. Like, no, I didn't have. But she's going through a princess phase, and I think that's really cute and precious and sweet. And so at night when they come to visit us and we're putting them to bed at night, the boys are easy because the boys will just play themselves until they pass the fuck out. No, girls need attention. You need to tell them stories. You need to talk to them. And so I'll tell them stories because I don't want to put on the TV like some parents, you know, I didn't grow up that way, so I'm trying to, you know, be the good aunt, you know, uncle, whatever you want to, I don't care. I'm trying to be the good Slim, right? And so I'll break out stories and I'll read them fairy tales. The niece is going through the phase. I'm like, oh, you know what I should read her? Is the princess and the along with it. I think there was a pebble or a stone, perhaps a boulder or someone, and then I'm bruised, I'm bruised, I'm bruised. Bullshit. Listen. princess would lead you to believe that she was maybe, I don't know, 14, 15, how old the Miriam back then, 18 years old, no. Bullshit. When I was a little princess, and I was a little princess at one point in time, I could fall asleep on a bed of broken fucking glass with one leg on a coffee table and the other one kicked off in fucking Mexico and wake up just fine. That bitch in this book was fucking 40. Trust me. Listen, I can fall asleep now on a pillow made of angel feathers with my head cocked the wrong way and wake up paralyzed from the fucking neck down. You guys having fun? You enjoying yourselves? Well, before I bring up your next comic, let me tell you a little bit about her. I selected these comics personally. I went to them. I really looked for people that I thought were going to be great for this show. And these are actually very good friends of mine. Your next comic coming to the stage, let me tell you how old I am. She met me when I was teaching defensive driving for the state of Texas, which I taught for 10 years. She was in high school at the time. I'm not even lying. Like, she was in high school. And now she teaches high school. So please, give a round of applause for one of the funniest women that have come up in a long, long time, Miss Dusty Rhodes.
For coming out and supporting, it's such a cool thing. I was excited to be asked to do it. I try not to be political in a lot of things, just in my normal life, because I'm a teacher and just regular. But then, like, sometimes I read Facebook. I have a few conservative white friends, because I like free brunch every now and then. And there is this article a lot of them were posting, and one of the main kind of themes running through the article was like, oh, just trust America. Give Trump a chance. What's the worst that could happen? What's the worst that could happen? And if it doesn't work out, we can just vote for someone else in 4 years. What's the worst that could happen? I feel like whenever they say, what's the worst that could happen, when they imagine the worst thing happening, what they're envisioning in their minds is just that montage of when people drop shit in infomercials. Like, that's what they're seeing. What's the worst that can happen? Ooh, I guess I'll just vote for stackable Tupperware in 4 years. It'll be okay. It'll be okay. Yeah. Or not. I am a lady, as you can see. I try to carry myself as a lady. I try to think of myself as responsible. You know, I have a job. I'm a teacher. I own my own car. I pay my rent on time. I feel like all that just comes to a crumble, though, the minute I open up my purse and pull out, like, $1 bills that are all crumbled and look like I'm a 5-year-old that doesn't understand how currency works. I was like, what do I need to give you? I don't know. I'm just usually using a card. And they're like, see, this is why they're not ready. It all goes to shame. I became an adult recently. I got a second set of bed sheets for Christmas. Yeah. Yeah, it's a great feeling, you know, when you're washing your sheets and you don't have to live in that moment as long where you take your sheets off and have to stare at all the stains on your mattress and wonder where your life is going because you used to live with a cat that peed on stuff. You just cover it up right away. You're like, I'm a grown-up. Guys come over. I'm like, we can do whatever we want with these sheets. Whatever we want to do on them, it's fine. Because I can just put on a new for the new sheets that come tomorrow. But if you want to be helpful and leave $2.25 on the dresser, that'd be great for future weeks. I listen to podcasts a lot. It's a great activity to do while you're dying alone. I'm sorry, don't say aw. I listen to a lot of educational podcasts, so not actually dying alone. I'm with knowledge. So we're doing okay. We're doing all right. Yeah. Listen to this one podcast recently. It's about all of our former presidents. I don't know if you've heard about it. It's really interesting. You learn about all the former presidents. I don't know if you guys know this, but historians actually believe that we've already had our first gay president. Do anybody know this?
Lincoln.
You're wrong. Buchanan. Yes, Lincoln. You're right. Buchanan. He was. Did you listen to the podcast too? Presidential? Girl, I got you. Buchanan was our first and only bachelor president, which is one of the main reasons. He never took a wife, which that's always a great way to talk. He never took a wife. She sounds like she was a part of that process. Yeah. But he didn't. He never had a wife. He did have, like, a buddy that he kept around. Andrew Jackson, a former president, used to call him Nancy Buchanan, which that's great. But Andrew Buchanan, that's a nice thing of Andrew Jackson to do, you know, basically call another president a fag in the House of Representatives. That's professional. He sounds like he was fitted for his job. Andrew Jackson was an asshole. I don't know if you know about him. He was terrible. Yeah, exactly. Oh, cool. Yeah. But also, he almost, James Buchanan, 15th president, almost did have a wife. He was engaged at one point to Ann Coleman, beautiful woman, killed herself. She's great. And when the marriage didn't work out, they didn't actually know that James Buchanan was gay from his own words because he burned all of his emails letters. But you know what? The thing was, no one cared about his personal life because he was voted as president because of what he could do, because of his experience, because people valued true things back then and not personal bullshit. It was a different time. It was a different time. Yeah. But his would-be fiancée wrote a lot about him, and one of the things she always said about him that is why historians thought he was gay, she would say, he never properly returns my affections. He doesn't properly return my affections. He never properly returns my affections. And I heard that, and I was like, oh my gosh. I didn't realize I've gone on Tinder dates with a bunch of future gay presidents. Crazy. It's weird. I haven't been properly returning my affections or messages. It's fine. That's great. I am a teacher, so responsible. So let's keep that in mind. Let that be the theme. I teach high school. I love it. I'm starting to teach my kids Medea, the Greek tragedy, not Tyler Perry. So sorry if you were excited for a second. Teach my kids Medea. It's a great play. There's a moment in Medea, however, where Medea and her husband of Argonaut fame, if you're a reader, they get into an argument and her husband says, ugh, women, we should have a better way of making children. A lot of my female students get upset by this. They're like, Miss Rhodes, can you believe he would say that? That women shouldn't be a part of making children? And I'm always like, I don't know, I think I'd be down. That sounds pretty sweet. Do you have copper in your vagina, young Sarah? No? Well, it's uncomfortable for a while and odd to talk about. So, maybe I would like that. You can just have at it. You keep it, Jason. People always are like, oh my god, you teach high school? It's the worst. Kids are such dicks. And I'm like, no, kids are actually pretty cool. I actually like teaching kids. The worst thing about teaching kids is dealing with their parents. Sometimes some people tell me that they're like, I have a kid in high school. I'm like, I didn't know you were an asshole. And it's not their fault, because most of the time those parents are probably pretty cool, but the ones I deal with on a regular basis, not so much. Because they complain about the dumbest stuff. Like, it's never actual things that mattered they complain about. My kids were reading this book, and in the fourth chapter of the book, the protagonist, main character, if you need a review, the protagonist is masturbating, and this mother called me, and she was very upset by this. She was like, Miss Rhodes, I was reading the book that you gave them with Tyler,
And we got with chapter 4, and I don't know if he's ready for the content. Like, your son's in high school. He's masturbating right now. She's like, Miss Rhodes, maybe you think Tyler's like most students, but I don't think they have, like, he just came again. Yeah, that's what happened, because you're finally out of the room, and he's trying to get it all out before you come in for more story time. But I do love my job. I like how somebody just goes, wow, well, you deal with that phone call, and how you would talk about it. I didn't actually say those things. Sometimes being a teacher is difficult, because you have, like, days just like you are when you're, like, it's any job. It's, I mean, I love my job, but it's a job just like it's any other job. Sometimes you're just frustrated, you're sick, whatever's happening. Sometimes you have kids just walk in your room, because it's, like, every 30 minutes I have just a new crop of kids just running into my room. And I love them, but at the same time, it's like, I see them every day, so we develop a relationship, and you start to feel comfortable. One time I had a girl come in my room, she was crying. And this was a girl who, every time there was something, you know, big, there was a project due, a major test, something horrible had happened to her. Like, her dog had died, or her bus exploded, or her seventh grandma was in the hospital, whatever. She walks in the class crying, and she's like, hey, Miss Rhodes. And I'm like, what's up, Ashley? How's it going? You seem really upset. Are you ready for the test today? Did you read the book? She's like, Miss Rhodes, I know that you gave us 6 weeks to read the book, and I was almost done with it last night, and then I found out my homeboy died, so I didn't finish. And I was like, oh my God, Ashley, I'm sorry. Did your homeboy not know you had 6 weeks to read the book? It's terrible. They're not going to mention that in the eulogy. I want to say I didn't say that, but that's not the truth. I will say that, unlike this audience, I had a group of kids in the background who was like, damn, Miss Rhodes wrecked! So I felt a lot more confident about that decision at the time. That's what I'm trying to say. It was a good job on me. Ask me things that are just like inappropriate, where I'm like, you should not ask that to your teacher person. One time I had a kid in the middle of class just raising hand. He's like, Miss Rhodes, do you like to smoke that Reggie? Smoke that Reggie, Miss Rhodes? For those of you who don't know, Reggie is affordable marijuana. Yeah, let's say it that way. The cheap stuff. But I can't know that to their face, right? So when he's like, Miss Rhodes, do you like to smoke that Reggie? I have to say, who's Reggie? He sounds fun. Why are you smoking him? Is he a ham? Because if I say, no, I don't smoke the Reggie, then they're like, oh, Miss Rhodes likes to smoke that good shit. I told you Miss Rhodes is down. Miss Rhodes is legit. And I have to call them outside, sit them down, have this very honest and awkward conversation where I'm like, hey, look. I do like to smoke that good shit. And I graduated from high school, went to college, got a job that pays well, so I can afford it. You didn't do your homework. And that's why you're still smoking the Reggie. On a level that matters to them, because otherwise they just don't care. They don't. I'm going to talk about sex stuff now, so just want to remind you that I'm a teacher, so still good person. Not like sex with students, no. Just in case you're wondering, 7 years and strong. Doing all right for myself. I am dating again recently. I was in a long-term relationship, and then we broke up. Anybody else been in a long-term relationship? Like, and by long-term, I mean, like, 3 years plus. Love it when I'm like, long-term relationship? People are like, yeah, 4 months. I'm like, great. Not that. Thing is, when you're in your relationship with someone for like a year or two, especially, like, you get comfortable with each other. You get to know each other. You know, you accept each other. And I'm totally talking about just in the bedroom, by the way. But it is, like, you become comfortable with each other, everything becomes okay, it's like, I feel comfortable with telling you what I want, and so sex becomes a very fun thing where you can just explore the things you're into. And then that becomes a regular thing. And then you break up. And then you go back into the dating world, and you start having sex again. And you're like, when do I tell you what I like to do? When is that okay? Like, to bring in my things. Like, the first time we have sex, the second time, the third time. I don't want to freak you out, but, like, we're supposed to just be having fun, right? Everyone's like, what is this bitch into? It's not even a big deal, okay? It's just, whenever I'm... I don't want to say this. Being intimate with a gentleman caller, let's call it, all right? I like it when he calls me derogatory names. It's a thing I'm into. It's a thing I enjoy. And first of all, my dad and I, totally cool. So don't even think that. It's just a thing I like, but that's a weird thing to just introduce sometimes. Like, one time I was with a guy, things were getting hot and heavy. I whispered into his ear. I was like, call me a slut. Call me a slut. And he backed up off me real quick, and he was like, wait, what'd you say, slut? And I was like, did you not hear me? Because if so, that's not okay. You have to go now. Always have to specify or apologize. I don't know which one. That's actually not true, because there's nothing awkward than when you bring a guy home from an open mic one time and you guys are having sex in the middle of it. He's like, yeah, you like that bitch? And you're like, actually, I don't like being called bitch. That's just a thing I joke about on stage. If you cannot call me bitch, sir, I'm going to call you sir. Don't call me bitch. I know this is a weird dynamic, but if we just keep it going, I'm almost done. Not a great way to end a Thursday. But it is. Sexy talk, pillow talk, that's always interesting. One time this other guy and I, it's been a good week, we're on the couch, just brought him home, making out, and he started to talk sexy to me. I mean, I think it was sexy because he started saying everything with a lot of breaths. So I was like, either you're being intimate or you need an inhaler. But he was like, hey, tell me where your G-spot is. Where's your G-spot? And I was like, whoa, buddy. We just started making out. We've been at this for like 10 minutes. Our clothes are still on. You already asked me where my G-spot is. You don't even try him. What, do you just buy video games and ask for the cheat codes up front, sir? We now have trophies and achievements. He wasn't picking up what I was putting down. I was like, think about it, man. Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark. He didn't know where that shit was. He spent the whole movie looking for it. So people knew that he wanted it, that he earned it, that he deserved it. And he came back at me and he goes, yeah, but the Goonies had the treasure map from the very beginning. I was like, that's a good point. So I'll let you know that the Goonies still didn't find that treasure until the end of the movie. Okay, sir? And I'll tell you this much. My G-spot is inside my vagina. And also, the Goonies was 114 minutes long. Like a glass of water first, or should we just get started? We fell asleep watching Ghostbusters. If you can tell by these last jokes, I like having sex with dudes. And dudes, I don't know if you've had sex with a lot of you. But there's a point during that exchange where you're not at your best. At the end. not your best time, like, physically or audibly. It's not a fun show to watch. And I realize there's, like, a way where we could be having sex where I don't have to see you, but sometimes this is what we've gone with, so front row Joe. And at that time, I have this move, and ladies, you might know what I'm talking about, where I turn my head to the side like I'm trying to be sexy. Like, I'm like, oh, yeah. Finish the screen. But really, in my mind, I'm just like, ooh. I don't want to know you right now. You look real gross. What's that noise? And that's not fair, right? Because that's not something you can help. I'm sorry to point at you specifically, sir. It's not like you can help, it's just what happens to your body because it likes what I'm doing, and I should be so grateful. And I don't know what it's like for you on the other end, so I decided to do a little bit of research. So the last time that I masturbated, I was like, Dusty, you need to get yourself to a mirror, and I did. So I went up to the mirror, and then I just maintained eye contact in those final moments. I just watched myself. And then when I was done, I just spent the rest of the day masturbating. Yeah. Because that shit was hot. Yeah. You're welcome, dudes. Guys, I'm Dusty Rhodes. Thank you very much for coming out tonight. And give it up for Slam for having us all together.
Hello, Redbeards. Give it up for Slim and Dusty and everything that's going on tonight. And for yourselves for coming out and supporting this. Good job, everybody. I'm doing pretty good with life. I fell asleep in an elevator the other day, which isn't exactly what I had in mind when I planned to sleep my way to the top. We'll take what I can get. And I wouldn't be so tired all the time if my boss would just break up with his wife like he keeps promising, you know what I mean? You guys are great. Good job for supporting such a good cause. Good job for supporting such a noble cause. I know this cause is the Million Woman March has stirred up a lot of controversy because people are upset, you know, that people are just rebooting things from the 90s, basically just ghostbustering another thing. There I am. Yeah, but good on you for supporting this good cause. I think it's great. Anybody in here like to smoke weed? Woo! Ladies in here like to smoke weed. Good on you. Ladies, if you're not smoking weed, I can't help but question your judgment, you know? Because that's just a economic decision, you know? Because it's practically free, because if you know a guy, then you know a guy. Guys are practically giving it out if you're desperate. I went to brunch with my gal pals the other day. And we exchanged dick pics from the week before, as is tradition. Yeah, we exchanged them like playing cards, you know, like, got any sixes? No. Just a bunch of threes. Yeah, they're called Eggs Benedict for a reason. We're betraying your trust. Never send a picture of your dick. It's basically just to prove that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing when, sexy talking, like, okay, prove that you're not in a children's shoe store right now, and then I may send you some, sexy novels. but yeah, I was having brunch with my gal pals, and they started to complain. It got a little whiny, and they were like, this one's too small. This one's too weird. Like some kind of slutty Goldilocks. And I was like, ladies, this is not how we should go about this. We are better than this. When they go low, we go high. Am I right? You know, me personally, I'm an optimist. I like to look at it ass half full. But that's just me. And I know that joke is kind of crude, because butt stuff or whatever. And I don't want anybody here to think that I prefer butt stuff, but I also don't prefer buying birthday presents, so fire me. I'm a baller on a budget, you guys. Let's see here. I went home to visit my family on the break. Which is always a weird experience. So we ended up just watching Silence of the Lambs on Silence of the Lamb, one lamb. It's about genocide of baby sheep. No, it's not what you think. No, so we were watching Silence of the Lamb on cable. So they cut out like all the good stuff, right? And I'm just watching it, and I'm like, this guy gets it. This Buffalo Bill guy. But in this economy, I don't think it would survive because, I don't know, I have job security. Does he, you know? What would he do if he wasn't able to kill women trying to load couches in their trucks? Like, did he put all his lotions in one basket is what I'm saying? Then I thought about it, and he probably has more job security than I do. You know, if that didn't work out, he could always be, like, the spokesman for Weight Watchers or Jenny Craig and be like, I used to fit into a size 14 named Melissa, but now I fit into a size 7 named Tiffany. And it still wouldn't be as creepy as that Subway dude. Go figure. Give it up for this show, all the women that you've seen, you know, applaud yourselves for coming out, and everybody else who's been on the show. I just love being on shows when it's all women, because it just proves that we have so much more to say than just, like, shopping and, you know, getting your hair done or whatever. So give it up for everybody and you know, intellectualism. So I'm going to talk about my boyfriend for a little bit. I hope that's okay. I have a boyfriend. He's super cool. He's a magician, so he's not cool at all. I tricked you. Magic. he's really cool. The first trick he ever did for me, he made my standards disappear. I was like, what? This is crazy. I guess we're dating now. Yeah, but he's super cool. He and I hang out all the time. He's like my best friend, you know. He always says I'm that perfect combination of woman, you know, lady in the streets and just one of the dudes in the sheets. It's real sweet. Oh, no. He's got friends. That's a good thing. Yeah, but I think I have a type of guy that I kind of gravitate back to. I'll go ahead and describe him for you. I like dark hair, dark eyes. Clap along if you agree, ladies. Ripped abs from all the parkour he's doing all the time, right? Ah, no nipples. Best friends with a monkey? Anybody? Aladdin? Okay, my perfect type is Aladdin. Yeah, I want to fuck Aladdin. ever since I was 6 years old, I've always said, that guy can get it in. And you guys are looking at me like I'm stupid, but if you don't know anybody who wouldn't fuck Aladdin, then you never had a friend like me, okay? Get over it. Yeah, but there really aren't that many Aladdin types left nowadays. Drones really saw to that. So I guess like the modern day equivalent of an Aladdin would be like an Edward Snowden, still like a rule breaker bad boy, but also it make anybody who dates him like a whistleblower blower, which has a nice ring to it. I'm all about labels. Maybe you guys don't understand. I'm talking about Joseph Gordon-Levitt Edward Snowden, not that fucking computer. Yeah. Hello? There we go. I am trying this new diet. It's this polyamorous diet where every day is my cheat day. Anybody tried it? It hasn't worked yet. I haven't lost any weight, but I'm having a lot of fun, which is the main, most important thing. So like I said, I have a boyfriend, and I will tell this joke, okay? I will
tell it, and it will be good.
No! I won't. There we go. I figured it out. Okay, so I'll tell this one quick so that the mic gods smile upon my favor. I think it's good for my boyfriend. I encourage him to indulge in pornographic material because I'm lazy. I think anything to get the ball rolling will be fine, you know? I'm a busy woman. But also, I think that I think that there's a correlation between women in society and porn, because nowadays porn is so prevalent. But back in the day, it was hard to get. Like, you had to either just, like, be really close with your weird uncle or have a thing with your mom. Or that was it. Like, you just didn't do that. But and women were not prominent in society back in the day. But nowadays, that guy's on porn right now. Look at her. And there used to be a possible woman president. That was I think those two things are correlated. Maybe it's just me. And I think it's because, like, if we can keep them busy, then we can keep them out of our shit, you know? Like, if they're playing with their dicks, then they're not oppressing chicks, okay? Put it on a button. It's fucking March. Yeah, I think that's important, but I kind of buried the lead. I also just allow my boyfriend to watch, like, cross-eyed girl porn, where, like, one leg's shorter than the other, she's got a mustache, and both legs are on the couch. Both eyes are on the couch. Not quite lazy, but in separate corners. So that when he looks at me, he's like, oh, my lady, I am not worthy, which is beneficial for me. But yeah, I try to indulge in his interests, you know, my boyfriend, because he's a man, I'm a woman. The two things will never get along. So I try to, like, invest in his interests. So I got a Sports Illustrated magazine and looked for some sex tips, because what is literature? So I'm flipping through this magazine, and finally I come to the sex tips, and it was like, a few things like dress up like a sexy cheerleader and chant "Give him the D," but it didn't work. He hates Dallas. There was also another one that was like, if you're in a long distance relationship, call him over the phone and be like, "Hey baby, is your name Eli Manning? Because I'd rather be fucking with your brother." That one didn't work either. It worked better for his brother, but what are you gonna do? There was one other one that was like, when you're in bed, right? Whisper something.
No, you're gonna want to hear this one.
Comedy comes in threes, and not broken up. Okay, and there was this one last one that was like, if you're in bed trying to spice things up, whisper something sexy in his ear like, "Hey, baby, if I was in the NFL, I'd beat your dick like it was my wife, or my kids, or my dog, or my girlfriend. Pick your pick." Oh, I can do it. Boop, boop, there we go. I'm back. So, yeah, that's my sex life in a nutshell. So I also think that feminist men are very sexy. I have that type. Any feminist men in the audience tonight? Woo! Awesome. Back here and under a rug in the floorboards. We have to hide them. They're so precious. They're delicate little creatures. You have to be sweet to them. No, I did this joke last night. Two nights ago, and the only sound was just the whistling of buttholes clenching up. So I am grateful for your silent solidarity. I appreciate you. But yeah, I think that feminist guys are really sexy. Thank you. Hello. Because they don't just look at me as a sexual object, no matter how hard I try. And I've tried everything. Oops, I dropped my right to vote. Ooh. Let me get that. Hey, baby, later, my safety word is don't. That just puts a stop to it right there. There was another one that was, if you think my thigh gap is cute, wait till you get a hold of my wage gap. <That's> super cute. That's just a joke. My thighs could be Pixar movies. They're so touching. No. That's okay. I'm very comfortable with everything going on. And I guess that... never mind. Fuck it. You guys are great. You have a great show coming up. Give it up for Slim and Dusty and everybody else who's coming on the show. You guys have been awesome. I'm Katie.
And there it is. Wow. All right, folks. We're coming into the final stretch. And, you know, I kind of had a plan for what I wanted to talk about this evening. I had a plan for everything that I wanted to do. And I'll just change my plan because I'm listening to you and I'm feeling some things. How you feeling out there? Can I get a hallelujah? Can I feel it?
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah. Yeah, we're all those people. I get that. I feel that. I feel that. I feel that. But see, religious people don't like it when you talk back to them. They don't like it when they throw their terms at you and you throw those terms right the fuck back at them. They get very upset with that, don't they? They take to tell you they're going to hell as if they can dictate direction. And I hate those people because they're abusing a document that is very precious to me. So I'll throw it right back at them in the most ugliest fashion I could possibly find. The last time I had somebody in Walmart tell me I was going to hell, I turned around and looked at them and said, you know, here in Walmart, in the United States of America, you find everything in one store. You know what's interesting? Is any other country you go into the United States, or outside of the United States, you can't find everything in one store. For example, in France, if you want bread, you have to go to a bread shop. If you want wine, you have to go to a wine shop. If you want a corkscrew or a wine tool, though, here's where it gets weird. You have to go to a hardware store. How fucked up is that? I would never find a nail. Where would I have to go? Church. I like this crowd. I like just that. Those are the people that piss me off. You know, the ones that are take the Bible as if God actually typed it, you know what I mean? The televangelists of this world, those people, those guys. Man, I can't wait till they die. Matter of fact, I hope they drown. I hope they fucking drown and have enough nerve to end up on heaven's doorstep with a Bible in hand and look God in the eye and go, Lord, oh Lord, Lord, you said you'd never destroy the world with water again, Lord, right here. You said it, you said it, you did, I got it in print. And then God goes, whoa, hold on, whoa. That's not what I said. See, that's what King James said, the bishop said, the pope said, the Hebrew scribe wrote, that Moses said, Noah said, I said. That is not what I said. You guys ready for your closer this evening? Woo! Now, this next comic coming to stage, we started comedy roughly together. She started before I did. We've been performing together for a number of years. We used to do a show together called The Brassy Broads. She has been all over the world. I'm so proud of her. She is one of the finest headliners this country has to offer. Please give up for one of my favorite people in the entire world, Miss Kristen Lenner.
And everybody, give Betsy a round of applause for keeping us all liquored up. Yeah, this is awesome. Hey, you guys, thanks so much for coming out and supporting this amazing cause. I am very excited about the Million Women March. Is anyone going? Besides, I know that you're going. Is anyone else going to Washington? Okay, well, that was fun. Oh, okay. Yay! No, I love that. I do. I support the cause. I am... I got to see my first Trump sign actually in my neighborhood this past summer, which was a little surprising to me. I had never seen one. I live in a pretty nice neighborhood. My house is shit, don't misunderstand, but I live in a really nice neighborhood. And actually the Trump sign was in front of this 5,000 square foot house. It's amazing, like it's gorgeous. The house is just amazing. And but the sign was in the yard, and the yard was, like, just completely grown over and looked terrible. It looked like shit. And I think what happened there was that the landscaping crew showed up and was like, oh, Trump, I see that. Yeah, okay. Fuck you, puto. You went to build a wall around that shit, because we're not coming back. So...
See, they told me if I just took the cord, this wouldn't happen. Not touching the cord, and then still... Okay, all right. So, bear with me if that happens. I know that we had our issues with... well, you know what? First, let me say that you guys... it's cold outside. Holy crap, I hate that. It makes me... I don't know. That's why I live in Houston, because I hate the cold. I just... Ugh, oh, my God. Yeah, so... And what is it out there, like... Like low 40s, frigid, makes everybody fucking miserable. Oh, wait, that's my Match.com profile. I got confused. I'm irritated. This is kind of just a PSA. I don't really have a joke, but I'm irritated. I was on my way here, and you guys, please don't text and drive. It's important. It's annoying. It's dangerous. I was behind this chick, and she was so busy on her phone, she wasn't paying any attention to the road in front of her. And I noticed that the truck immediately in front of her was slamming on his brakes. And I was like, oh, great, we're all going to die, because she's not paying any attention. So she finally looks up. She has to slam on her brakes, like skids on the road, doesn't actually hit the truck. I have to slam on my brakes now to try and avoid hitting her. And thank God nobody hit anybody. The only bad thing that happened was that I accidentally stabbed myself in the eye with my mascara wand. I know, I was so irritated. I wasn't going to wear smoky eye makeup, but this bitch decided. So don't text and drive, you guys. And it's also very important to edit what you text. That's really... texting is very dangerous, because if you don't edit what you text, you can send totally the wrong thing. Like this past week, when it got cold, we had that cold snap. I went out to my car, and my tire pressure, I guess, had gone down during the day because the little warning light was illuminated on my dashboard. So I texted my husband, reminding him to inflate my tires. But I didn't edit the text properly, because that's what I thought I texted him. What I actually texted him was the word tits instead of tires. And I can talk about how I trained my phone later. But anyway, so my husband received this text from me. Hey, remind me to inflate my tits when I get home. I think the cold made them flatten. So that's a quick PSA about your PSI, ladies. Check your PSI. Apparently we go a little flat. Are we cold? I have been a Hillary supporter for many, many years. I love Hillary Clinton. I was very sad about everything that happened. It's been tough. It's been a tough road to hoe for a long time, being a Hillary supporter living here in Texas, because people get mad. People get mad at you whenever you say you're supporting Hillary. I had this friend, super conservative friend, earlier this year who I was talking to about the election. I said, oh my God, I love Hillary Clinton. I'm so excited she's running for president. She's going to be the next president. This girl was horrified. She's like, oh my God, Hillary Clinton? Like, isn't she the one whose husband got a from another woman? I said, yes. And that right there is the reason she should be president. She already knows about outsourcing. Because, I mean, outsourcing is a big deal in this country. And what is it but giving away the crappy jobs we don't want anymore, right, ladies? Oh, my God, what a great idea, Hillary. Thank you. I seriously hate that job. I am totally willing to outsource it. My husband's birthday is coming up. I am using that plan. You're like, baby, I know you've been looking forward to that birthday, BJ. I'd like to introduce you to Usha. She's from India. And while she's down there, she's going to talk to your Sprint cell phone plan, okay? Happy, happy. I'm excited to be back in Texas. I actually just got back from Oklahoma. I was in Oklahoma a couple weeks ago. And, did somebody apply for Oklahoma? What is wrong with you? Okay, It's fine. The big thing that was my biggest problem in Oklahoma is that they have casinos. And I am not a good, like, casino gambler person. Like, I will go and spend all my money. It's terrible. So I love the fact that in Texas we don't have that. We don't have access to, you have to drive several hours to get to a casino. I love that. I love that about us, which is a weird thing to like, but I really do like it. The only way you can get in trouble here in Texas is to get, a bunch of lottery tickets or scratch-offs, right? But they still have that warning on all those lottery tickets. They still say the same thing. They still have that, if you have a gambling problem, please call. And then they give you the number for the gambling hotline. So if you legitimately have a gambling problem here in Texas, the first thing you have to do is run out and buy you a bunch of lottery tickets so you can get that number. So you can call them and let them know you have a problem with gambling. I've heard they actually don't get a lot of callers on that hotline, though. I think if they made every fifth caller a winner. Get a lot more callers. I'd call them. Hi, I have a problem. Did it win? Well, shit. I'll try back. Because I do not need to gamble. I'm a poor person. I get that exact same gambling excitement just logging on to online banking. For me, that's exactly like playing roulette. I'm sweating. My heart's racing. I'm like, come on, black. No red, no red. Let's go. Mama needs a new set of groceries. Come on. Shit, house wins again. Sucks. What's the over-under? I'm going to have to pay $35 on that transaction. I didn't have the $3.25 for that last transaction, and now I need $35 more? That doesn't make sense, but America. I do worry about us, though, you guys. I really think that we're all addicted to technology. I think that everyone is so addicted to being on their phones, and I see you right there, being on your phones and everything. I really think in our lifetimes, we're going to have to go to, like, an ATM machine for the doctor. Like, you won't see a doctor person. You'll just go to the machine for diagnosis. Like, you swipe your insurance card, you swipe your debit card, you stick your finger in for pulse readings. Thank you for using the automated doctor. Please enter the symptoms that you believe you have. Okay, see, I got blurred vision. I can't see out of my right eye. And I have fainting spells. Thank you. The automated doctor has looked at your symptoms and determined that you either have glaucoma or diabetes. Please press 1 if you believe you have glaucoma. Please press 2 if you believe you have diabetes. You have chosen diabetes. You do not have the funds for diabetes. Please press 1 if you now believe you have glaucoma. Oh, thank the system works, you guys. My receipt says I have scabies and kennel cough. Oh. That's right. I am married. My husband is Slim, and Alex have been together for 16 years. My husband and I just celebrated. Hold on, let me fix this. Good? No? Good? Yeah. All right, let's see if I can keep it. That's weird. Exactly like getting a blowjob. It's like, okay, half of it. The ball sticks. Right. No. You don't like that at all. All right, cool. How about here? This, your balls, if I pull your balls up in front of the penis, is that good? Is that good for you? It doesn't look comfortable at all. Is that working? Okay. All right. Well, stick with this for a little while. So my hand gets tired. And then I'll do something different. Okay. See, there it went. All right. Oh, no, it's exactly this. This exact. You guys remember the antennas on TVs where it'd be like, okay, no, don't move. No, you have to stay there if you want to watch the show. You have to stand right there and hold that. So I'm going to hold it just like this. It's not working. Okay. Is it still working? Can you guys hear me? Okay. Oh, my God. All right. So, I'm afraid to move. This is terrible. What was I talking about? I don't even remember. Oh, hi, are married. Yeah, we've been married for 23 years. We decided to just be friends. That's where we're at. I mean, with benefits, obviously, like 401k and medical and dental. He's actually a really smart guy. He's really sweet. He's super smart. Very intelligent. Really smart guy. Super intelligent. Sorry, I have to keep reminding myself because he says stupid shit to me all the time. My favorite thing he ever said to me was, I came home from working at a comedy club It was pretty late at night. I was getting ready for bed. I was checking myself out in the mirror. I said, you know, honey, for three kids, we did pretty good. I have just one stretch mark right here on my thigh. He said, have you seen your ass? Right? I said, yeah, I'm looking right at him. Sure. So I, sure enough, I look, and there's a whole bunch of white lines on the back of my hiney. It looks like a road map. It's an atlas, if you will. I told him to go to Hallam, and I showed him how to get there. You see this pimple? You are here. You're going to want to avoid the loop. I made the mistake of telling that story one time in a town south of here called Lake Jackson, Texas. Yeah, exactly. It was a bad idea. This audience member came up to me for the show. I sure would like to see that map of yours. You're freaking me out, lady. I do. I like my husband a lot. We're in the market for a new mattress, which is very exciting. We just had holidays, and mattresses go on sale for every holiday. Pretty excited about it. Yeah, there's new mattress technology, and we have a snoring problem at my house. So very excited to get this new mattress because they have technology now where you can, like, if you have a snorer, what you do is you push a button on your side of the bed, and what that does is elevate their side of the bed where they're snoring. It elevates them and then flings them against the wall. Where they get knocked unconscious and they stop fucking snoring. So, yeah, I can't wait. It's going to be very exciting. Now, before I met my husband, though, I was in a relationship that I thought was the one. I thought we were going to get married and have babies. Like, I was in love with this guy. I really thought I was in love with this guy. Until I saw him barefoot for the first time. Yeah, he was missing the baby toes on both of his feet. He had 8 toes. And I broke up with him right there at the swim party. I know. Yeah. You know what? My friends were all mean to me, too. Yeah, I get it. They were all like, Kristen, I had no idea you were so shallow. I said, I prefer the term lactose intolerant. Oh. I can't have babies with him. I mean, we might get discounts on pedicures, maybe. I don't know. But... No, I the big news in my house right now is that my mother-in-law has recently moved in with us, my husband's mother, which was completely terrifying for me because she's never liked me. She's made me very clear that she's not a fan of mine, and I was so worried about it for weeks leading up to it, and it's actually been okay. She's been pretty quiet. She's mostly stayed in her urn and left us alone. Some of y'all turned on me right there. It's a joke, you guys. Come on. I'm kidding. It's a comedy show. It's a joke. Don't get mad at me. We couldn't afford an urn. She's actually in a box. In a crushed velvet bag. That says Crown Royal on it. We wanted Grandma to feel at home. It is actually true. All of it is true. And my favorite part of that story is that she really did not like me. And the reason she didn't like me is because I'm a terrible housekeeper. My house is always dusty and dirty. And now she's part of the fucking problem. No, you're right. That's a terrible joke. I apologize. That is so mean. So mean-spirited. I don't mean to be like that. Oh, good times. Yeah, I am, let's see, I have 3 kids. I mentioned that. I have 3 daughters. I have 3 teenage daughters. Yeah, my life sucks hardcore. This is why I drink. Those bitches. Yeah. I wish I could go back to my own past, you know, like a Back to the Future kind of thing. I would go back and I would talk to myself before I had all these kids, and I'd be like, Kristen, come here. Listen to me. I'm going to put this in terms you're going to understand, you little drunkard. All right, having kids is like taking shots of liquor. Yeah, you got to know when to quit, because there's a very fine line between, oh my gosh, I'm having a great time, and I think that last one fucked me up. I don't feel good at all. Who gave me that one? I didn't. I didn't need another one. My youngest is part of that equation. I think that's, she's all kinds of messed up. I don't know. She's got this problem. She doesn't know when to shut up. If it occurs in the brain, it flops right at her mouth. Like, that's just how she is. She just, yeah, she's a teenager. And she's just like, at Thanksgiving, I made both peas and corn, because some people in my family like peas, some like corn, so I had both available. My youngest likes both, so she had both on her plate. Then she mixed them together and proudly told everybody at the Thanksgiving dinner, "Hey, you guys, look, I made corn." Thank you, baby. That's awesome. It is rare for a mother to see her child's first porn, so this is a big deal for me. And she's in eighth grade. Yeah, exactly. Oh. Actually, she has her first crush on a boy. First crush on a boy. Very exciting stuff, because she didn't tell me. I found out on Facebook, because I'm stalking her and shit. But, yeah, crush on a boy. His name, and I'm not making this up, this kid's name in the eighth grade, this kid's name that she has a crush on is Steel Valentine.
Oh, shit.
Holy shit, right? My daughter found the only eighth grade porn star in the world. I didn't even know they went to regular school. That's amazing. I thought there was a special school in California where porn stars went. I actually got to meet him. I went to take her to school one day. Steel happened to be standing there. So I started chatting with Steel to make sure he's cool, like I'm vetting him, kind of, right? She did not see it that way. She was so pissed at me. She was like I was messing with her man or something. I was like, okay, you need to chill. Yeah, seriously. He's a little young for me. Yeah. Seriously. Like 3-4 years at least. That's a joke. I do at least like them legal. But I have gotten to an age, I don't know when it happens, but I guess you just flip a switch at some point. You reach an age over 40 at some point where you're like, holy shit, look at these cute little 25-year-old boys. I don't even know what I would do if I caught one, but I think I'd just display him in my house. I think that's how I'm gonna make it. I know, he's 25. His name is Xander, isn't it? So guilt. But I'm a comic and I think of stuff. I think of fucked up things in my head. So I decided after that conversation that I would come up with the proper pickup line. If I ever find a right younger man, how would I pick up a younger man? And this is what I've decided on. I haven't used it, so don't worry. Your children are safe. But you guys let me know if you think this would work. Younger man. Here we go. Hey. Do you like games? You do. Cool. Listen, I have a game for you. Yeah. It's called Pokemon. There we go. I actually have a Jigglypuff right here. We could Pikachu or whatever. Just... I'll call you Squirtle. See, I'm listening to the people that know Pokemon and then the others who are like, what the fuck is going on? Which is a lot of you. So dirty, I apologize. You know what? It is weird. I'm a female comic. There's been a lot of female comics. You guys, give it up one more time for all the girls on the show. I love doing shows. I know Katie was talking about it. I love doing shows with all female comics. It is unusual, though. There's not a lot of us. And it's fun. But I think it's so weird to me. Because one of the barometers for being a comic is your dick jokes. Honestly. Like, that's what you're judged on is your dick jokes. And I honestly don't have a single dick joke in my act. I don't have any dick jokes. I don't have any dick jokes because I don't have a dick. I don't even understand the relationship you guys have with your stuff. I really don't. Like, you guys, I've heard guys like you talk to him and stuff. Like you name him, I guess, and have conversations with your thing and help him throw up in the morning, and I don't know what all goes on. I don't understand the relationship. I really don't. Like, you guys are friends with your penis. I think part of that is because you can see your stuff. You can see, and like I she and I aren't even friends. We're not on speaking terms. I have no idea. The problem is I have no idea what I have going on down there. I really don't. I couldn't pick her out of a lineup if I had to. Is it the black one? I don't know. We're not. She's a little trampy, if I'm being honest with you. I mean, I don't like the choices she makes. We can be out somewhere, and I'll be like, oh, look at the cute boy in the sweater vest. And she's like, I like the one in the leather jacket. He looks like a dick. I know. All right. She's got this sideways way of looking at the world. And you can't even talk to her about this shit because she's got terrible breath. I'm so sorry. Mostly groans right here. I see you. All right. Someone was talking about bathrooms earlier. I think it's really weird that guys are so friendly with their own penises, but then they have all these rules. They have urinals. Guys have urinals. They have their, where, you know, you can have several, people can just go in and pee, and it's very fast, and it's great. But there's rules for urinals. There's all kinds of rules. Like, if there's four urinals and there's a guy at two, you can't go to one or three. You got to go to four, because if penises see each other in the wild, it's gay or something. I don't know. I don't understand all the rules that go with it. It's just so weird to me, because women, in our bathrooms, we're all caged in a stall. We're still having a rave. We're still like, I love those shoes. Oh, my God, they're amazing. Do you need toilet paper or anything? You're my best friend. Like, I don't understand why we don't have urinals. We should have urinals. We're the ones that need them. We need to be just churning people in and out. I just solved all the problems of all the lines in any club, anywhere. We just have urinals. They're the exact same thing as the guys. They're a little lower. We're hovering anyway. We don't need seats. We just go in there and continue having our party like we did. You know, we just be in there like, ah, what's going on? Oh, I love it. You're growing it out. That's awesome. Oh, I heard. The bush is back. It is. I have heard that. It is. It's back. It's back, you guys. The movement starts tonight. It's back. The bush is back. Stop shaving. Stop waxing. Here we go. All right. I think the extensions are a bit much, if I'm being honest. Yeah. And you got it braided and beaded. I don't know. Did you go to Jamaica or something? I don't know. I guess they can hear you coming. Okay. That's good. And you went with the clitler. I like it. Okay. Well, it was very nice to meet both of you. I'm gonna see you guys out at the bar later, and I'm just gonna blow her off. All right, come. And then pull up my spikes. That's it. We need girls, you guys. Make it happen. So I am a. I'm a female comic, and it's weird because except for tonight, I'm always around guys. All my friends are guys. I hang out with guys 100% of the time. And a lot of times when I'm hanging out with guys after shows, I think they forget that there's a woman there, and they say stuff that I don't think they intend for other women to hear. So I will share with you what I find out, okay? So I was hanging out with a bunch of guys after a show, and we'd been drinking a little bit, and they started talking about their favorite sexual position. And according to these guys, the best sexual position is reverse cowgirl. And I had to have explained to me, I'll explain to you. So cowgirl would be woman on top facing man. Reverse cowgirl is girl on top facing away. And when I asked why is that the best, they said, oh, because it's like doggy style where you can see the ass, but you don't have to do any of the work. So you're just being fucking lazy. All right, awesome. I get it. That's great for guys. For guys, reverse cowgirl sounds awesome. For women, though, for women, reverse cowgirl is a whole other experience. For us, it's like... It's cold in here.
Ha ha ha!
What are you doing?
What?
Damn it. Fine. If we're going to do this a lot, can we get a TV over here or something? You need a pedicure. Oh shit, you have 8 fucking toes. Oh my god. This is what it would look like if I had balls. Thank you guys so much. Continue to support this charity. I'm Kristen Lindner. Keep it going for Slim Bloodworth.
Thank everything that you've done. Ladies and gentlemen, we've raised so far nearly $600. That's 2 women we could send to Washington. If you have anything else, every dollar counts. Fuck Anisha in the back, do what you gotta do. Also, appreciate Betsy. Betsy, like I said, she had a cold, she came in anyway. She did it all. And there is also another very important person in the room I'd like to thank tonight. I'd like to thank the owner of Rudyard's British Pub this evening. Events here free of charge for the arts community to raise funds, fundraisers. She actually held a fundraiser here for me one time, dropping dead in Canada, that raised nearly $5,000 to help me out. Woo! That is a very, very special. Yeah! Yeah! I actually consider it an honor to bartend here. Also, again, give a round of applause to all those comics that came out to donate their time. Because this means something to me. Now, I'm going to leave you guys with a portion of a piece that was written by, well, not written, but spoken by Sojourner Truth. Sojourner Truth is one of my favorite historical figures. Born in 1797, 5 years after the Constitution was kind of ratified, maybe. Right? And she was born in New Amsterdam into slavery. She did not speak English for the first 9 years of her life, present day New York. She spoke Dutch. And when she was sold into slavery and born into slavery, and when she was sold when she was 9, she spoke no English, and her masters were not friends of hers because they didn't speak any Dutch. And this woman in the 1820s finally earned her freedom. She could not read, she could not write, and yet she changed a world. Between 1820 and the years that she died, traveling around and speaking against slavery and for women's rights in the 1850s. And what I'm going to quote from you is just an excerpt from a speech she gave in Ohio in the 1850s. I want to say a few words about this matter. I am a woman's rights. I have as much muscle as any man, and I can do as much work as any man. I have plowed, and I have reaped, and I have husked, and chopped, and mowed, and can any man do more than that? I have heard much about the sexes being equal, and I can carry as much as any man, and can eat as much too if I can get it. I am as strong as any man that is now. As for intellect, all I can say is, if a woman have a pint, and a man have a quart, why can't her little pint be full? You need not be afraid to give us our rights for fear we will take too much, for we can't take more than our little pint will hold. The poor men seems to be all in confusion and don't know what to do. Why, children, if you have a woman's rights, give it to her, and you will feel better, and you will have your own rights, and there won't be so much trouble. I can't read, but I can hear. And I have heard the Bible, and I have learned that Eve caused man to sin. Well, if a woman upset the world, do give her a chance to set it right side up again. Thank you so much.